5-Hour Tea with caffeine from green tea leaves. It's delicious, energizing, and comes in 3 amazing flavors. With 0 sugar and 4 calories, it fits your life. With its compact size and portability, it goes where you go. To the campsite, the hiking trail, the beach, without weighing you down. 5-Hour Tea, caffeine from green tea leaves. Release your natural side from the makers of 5-Hour Energy. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Try 5-Hour Tea today. Look for 5-Hour Tea at your local Circle K store.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're tuned in to the show that brings you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Once upon a time, libraries are seen as one of the most crucial institutions in the community. The rows and rows of books serving the society's thirst for knowledge and information. But as we rapidly move towards the digital age, the relevance of libraries began to be put into question. So it's quite intriguing when we discovered Rumah Atap Library and Collective. Founded earlier this year, the private library is stuck in the bustling creative hub at Kampung Atap, the Chongsan building. Unlike the typical libraries that provide various categories of books, Rumah Atap Library and Collective focuses specifically on culture, literature, philosophy, sociology, and arts in the Chinese language. To learn more about the very dynamic intellectual space that is Rumah Atap, we speak to one of its founders, Shou Yingxin.
Hello, I am Yingxin. I'm now one of the founders of Rumah Atap Library. So before that, I have been working in independent media for some time, and right now I'm working freelance as a translator and a lecturer.
Okay, so what's your intellectual background and trajectory like?
I study literature, so comparative literature, and my thesis is actually on Chinese-Malaysian literature and Anglophone-Malaysian literature. So right now I teach literature as well.
Okay, quite interesting. Alright, so before we touch more on Rumah Atap Library and Collective, what's your relationship with libraries before this? Did you grow up going to libraries? Have you always been interested in books?
Yeah, I've always been interested in books, but since Malaysian, I don't think we have many libraries in our community, so I didn't actually go to university when I was young in Malaysia. So, well, I like books, I like to read, so when I was still in university, it's quite easy to get to the books that you like to read. But then after graduation, I feel that we don't have such things. So yeah, that makes me want to make a library.
Was that the inspiration behind Rumah Atap Library and Collective?
Yeah, that's the thing. Because we all are from humanities background and we love books and we like to read. We organize reading groups as well. But then getting those books are quite difficult and it's expensive as well. We have to buy. And we also think that the good books and those maybe theory books are always in universities but not outside. So we want to kind of create another knowledge system outside universities, because we know in university a lot of things that you can't touch upon and, well, it has some limitations. So we try to build, well, that's the dream. We try to build up another knowledge system outside universities. Yeah.
So it's a collaboration between 3 different parties, right? So maybe you can elaborate a bit on that.
Yeah, it's founded by 3 groups of our friends. So my group, it's called Amateur. It's kind of a forum, civic forum, and also knowledge platform where we hold talks, discussion, reading groups, and movie screenings on issues related to culture, society, politics as well. And the second group will be In Between Cultura, and there are feminist groups who do handmade zakas and handmade menstrual pads. That's their focus now. So they're trying to promote organic menstrual clothes. It's reusable. So they are also using feminist theory to theorize their activism. And also the third group is Ao Sao Yi. It's a Malaysian artist who is now based in Taipei. Based in both Taipei and KL, she came back often. So she doesn't need a studio for herself, but she thinks that it's good to set up a library together with other groups. So she kind of joined in, yeah.
Okay, so what kind of books are available there in Rumah Atap?
Our books are main focus would be books on culture, philosophy, literature, sociology and arts, I would say. Because for amateur, our group, we are all from humanities background. And for in-between culture, they graduate with a sociology degree. And artists also. So it would be like humanities, social sciences and arts. So that would be our main focus.
And if I'm not mistaken, the materials are mostly in Chinese language, right?
Yeah. Because we inherited some books from a now defunct humanities library. And also from our friends' contribution. And actually, we are all from Chinese education background. So like it's naturally, we got all the books in Chinese. But also we have a shelf of English books as well.
What's the process of gathering all the books like? Apart from maybe inheriting some books, do you encourage people to donate? Do you buy some of these books? What's the curation process like?
Okay, we haven't had the fund to actually buy books. So it's all from people's donations and contributions. So initially when we started, so we kind of calling out for our friends to donate the books related to the themes. We are very encouraged by them because they all brought their books in boxes and in luggages to help us.
So the materials there, are they mostly local books or books from abroad?
Well, actually, in Malaysian scene, the Chinese publications are, well, they are, but only on specific themes. So for the Chinese books, most of us read books from Taiwan and China. So, yeah, many Taiwanese and Chinese books at our library.
Okay, and it's a library, so does it function like a normal library in the sense that maybe you can borrow books home, or does it function only as a library for you to read books there?
Okay, right now, you can only browse at the library because we haven't set up the borrowing system. So, hopefully, in next month, we can finalize the borrowing system so people can actually borrow. But the library is only one part of the space, actually, the space is also used for activities, events, discussions, and that is also a very important part.
Okay, what kind of activities do you have there?
Yeah, like I said, talks, screenings, and discussions. And people can actually come to the library to study, to read books. We have free Wi-Fi there. Yeah, and some snacks and drinks.
Right. So it's at the Cheongsan building, right? So yeah, it seems to be the eat place these days. So was it a natural decision to set up your library there?
Oh, well, it's actually by chance. One of our partners, Ao Soyi, the artist that I mentioned, people asked whether she needs a studio there. And she said she doesn't need a studio, but it would be good to have a space, a physical space, and she has to think what to do with that. And for other groups, we are also looking for spaces because before we have the library, we have to rent like other artist space to hold talks and events. So we have to pay the rental and stuff like that. So we thought maybe few groups can get together, we rent a space. So we got together and we thought that if we need a space for activities, maybe we can do something with the space itself at the place. So we thought we will set up a library there. Since we know that there will be an arts hub, so many artists and intellectuals and activists will be there. So a library would be good.
Yeah, so based on my observation, I find that private libraries are a thing these days. So what differentiates you from other private libraries out there?
For the Chinese scene, there are quite some community libraries, but we don't define ourselves as community libraries because we don't have books on like children literature or recipe or popular literature, no. So we have a specific theme that we want to focus on, which is culture studies and also philosophy and literature, stuff like that. And so I think instead of being only as a physical library, and we want it to be a space where people can come and discuss. So, Soyi say that it's also an imagined space. So it's not only physical, but it's also imagined that people, we will see what can we actually come up with through this library, and different people will meet each other at the library. So, and our target will be more students, young people and intellectuals who want to talk about things which are critical discussions.
Libraries, the function of libraries in this day and age, you could argue that maybe has become a little bit more irrelevant because of the digital age, right? So do you think that that's a fair assessment? Do you think that a library in this day and age is still relevant, especially a library that not only provides books but also provides space for discourse, right?
Yeah. That's why we built it, because we think it's still relevant and it's still very much needed for people like us. I mean, young generation who don't have access to university system. I mean, for a lot of our friends, so they need some place to hang out with friends, but not necessarily cafes and guest house and those hipster places, but a place where they can actually read and discuss serious things. So I think a library is still relevant.
Do you think Rumah Atap will be able to encourage a library culture though? because it seems to be dying these days. But do you think you'll be able to maybe encourage a new way of library culture, especially for the younger generation who are grow up maybe reading things or gaining knowledge mostly online?
Yeah, that's quite ambitious. We don't think that big. We only know that what we can do now is to do a library for young people to actually read. And we do hope that, yeah, that will be the future, that people will, there will be more people who like to do similar things and can kind of initiate a movement, a reading movement and cultural movement. Yeah, that would be very good.
Yeah, and I think it's still quite important to have that physical interaction, right? I mean, these days people say that maybe you can gather online to exchange ideas, to debate about things and issues, but I think a physical space is still relevant in this day and age for people to actually meet one another and actually discuss and debate things critically face-to-face,
right? I think face-to-face discussion is very important because everyone have been, you know, staying online and become, keyboard warriors. And actually, humans are very different when they are online and they are offline, I think. Yeah, so, real interactions is still very much important, so we can kind of understand each other, we can talk continuously and engage with other people.
That was Shou Ying Sin, founder of Rumah Atap Library and Collective, sharing a bit of background about their initiative. Later, Ying Sin tells us about the discourse happening in the Chinese-speaking community and the sustainability of Rumah Atap, both as a private library and an intellectual space. Stay tuned, I'm Hanif Baharudin, and this is I Love KL on BFM 89.9.
5-Hour Tea with caffeine from green tea leaves. It's delicious, energizing, and comes in 3 amazing flavors. With 0 sugar and 4 calories, it fits your life. With its compact size and portability, it goes where you go. To the campsite, the hiking trail, the beach, without weighing you down. 5-Hour Tea, caffeine from green tea leaves. Release your natural side from the makers of 5-Hour Energy. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Try 5-Hour Tea today. Look for 5-Hour Tea at your local Circle K store.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. I'm Hanif Baharudin. We've been speaking to Shou Ying Sin, one of the founders of Rumah Atap Library and Collective, a private library and an intellectual space located in the Chongsan Building at Kampung Atap. Earlier, Ying Sin has spoken about what the space aims to achieve and the curation process of the library. Now, we're going to zoom in on Rumah Atap's decision to provide academic reading materials and events in Chinese. What was the reason behind it? Was it to fill a vernacular intellectual vacuum that was not present in our urban community, or was it to cater to an already existing demand?
Well, yeah, just like I mentioned just now, they have been community libraries, and especially their Chinese library, but their focus will be books on community-based, like recipe and popular fiction and also children's literature. And what we think is that we lack of intellectual discussion and discourse on certain themes such as philosophy and culture studies. So, yeah, I think there are demands about that because outside, people have been very much interested in talking about politics and society, but sometimes we feel that that will be very much on the surface and we don't actually go deep into in-depth discussion. So I think reading and also doing such discussion is very much important because in Chinese community, we also see when there is a political talk, there will be forums of 3 males talking about politics and it's kind of no interaction with the public, we would think. So we need a small space where people can actually talk face-to-face to each other without hierarchy. So, can understand each other.
Okay, so I'm a bit more familiar with discourses taking place within the English language sphere and to a certain extent the Malay language sphere, right? But I'm not very familiar with the Chinese language community and how they approach things. So maybe you can help paint a picture of the community with regard to especially intellectual discourses. How vibrant is it?
I think from my perspective, because I'm not from KL and I just came to KL 2 years ago, when I went to the discussions in like Malay forums or English forum, I feel that it's very much vibrant and so many indie publishers and so many groups, small groups, they're coming up. But I don't see such things happening in Chinese communities. I don't know why. I think that the Chinese community, they are still very much tied up with their own identity struggles, I'd say. Because in the last generations, the Chinese community, whether it's intellectuals or also activists and others, they have been fighting for such as vernacular educations, the rights of Chinese communities and stuff like that. And we think that it's not relevant anymore for the current political situation. That's not something that young people want to actually champion about, yeah, champion towards it. So we think that I don't know why we don't have such a very much organic small groups if compared to the English and Malay communities, because maybe people are still very much believe in system or structure. And, well, there are some small groups, especially during and after the last general election. People were very much active and they want to be involved in politics and they want to talk about things, democracy and things like that. But that doesn't actually continue. It died out after the last election because we don't see what we expected. And so we thought that actually only cultural and intellectual discourse can kind of continue such progressive discussion, but not merely focusing on, political situation, contemporary politics and things like that.
Yeah. Okay, so are the issues parallel and consistent with the discourse by the maybe English language crowd or even the Malay language crowd? Do you guys, talk about the same issues, or are they a bit more localized to suit the cultural nuances of the community?
Well, I would say for our crowd and also my friends who are doing other groups, like reading groups and discussions, we are more concerned about from the cultural perspective and also sociological perspective. So we don't actually talk about what is human rights and whether freedom of expression is very important. We think that such things is kind of, it's understandable. We don't have to have much debate about that. So we tend to focus on something more in-depth. Like one time we talk about radicalism. What is radicalism? So being a social activist, how radical can you be? So we talk about that philosophical idea after that. Mm. Yeah, I think that would be our focus.
In terms of culture, what kind of cultural stuff do you actually discuss there?
Literature, culture, and also history, I'll say. So because my group, Amateur, we are very much concerned about intellectuals' role in a society. So we talk about intellectuals and the roles of intellectuals. So we invite speakers to talk about that. Because 20 years ago, among Chinese community, there have been a few intellectuals who wrote a draft, a kind of memorandum that Chinese intellectuals have to kind of champion what kind of rights, and it's like a declaration. But we saw that those intellectuals, they are now with the political parties. Some are with the political parties and they have gone to other paths. So we thought that how can an intellectual, or from our perspective, young intellectual, can intervene into current politics and be independent, not relied on maybe political party or systems that has been there. And when they gain power, how can they not suppress others? And that's a very important thing that an intellectual has to think about. Kind of cultural things like history of our region, not necessarily Malaysia. The inspiration comes from other places. For us, for young people, we look to Taiwan or Hong Kong. So we talk about Hong Kong politics and Taiwanese politics. So it's very much different.
So are you planning to diversify the books and events there, perhaps in other languages?
Yeah, actually, we do hold talks in English and Malay. And also, our friends from the Malay crowd, they also use our space for their events. So, well, actually, for our event, which we want to conduct in Mandarin, we will say that the Q&A session is open for other languages. You can ask questions in other languages, so we'll translate. We try ourselves to translate, actually.
What's the response like? Do you have people who go there, people who might not necessarily be Chinese or understand Chinese, but who are still interested in the discourse there?
Yes, we have. Because one time we talked about refugee, and a friend came and he's interested in refugee issues. So, and then he just sit at the back and he didn't understand what the speaker is talking about. So I kind of sit beside him and translate one sentence to another to him. So we try ourselves to accommodate everyone.
Okay. What is the type of crowd like at Rumah Atap Library and Collective?
I don't know their class background actually. But from age, I think, young people, like 20 to 30s, 20, 30s or to 40s maybe. Yeah, and it also depends on issues that we talk about. Like last time we screened a documentary on Singapore leftist history, so some older generation came and talk about their story. Yeah, we attract different crowd lah, but mainly for people who will come and visit the library kind of regularly and become our volunteers, young people, especially students.
So one of the more unique things about Rumah Atap is that it's 100% crowdfunded, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So how's that like? Is it sustainable?
Yeah, we hope it's sustainable. So initially we had a crowdfunding through Facebook, very simple one. So we gathered only like 10,000. So we set up the library. We got bookshelves and those facilities that we need. But then, of course, it's not enough. So we pay our own rental. Actually, the members pay our own rental. And we just need operating expenses to keep it going. And actually, our activities don't cost much. Just a talk, just reading discussion. We just have to pay the speakers. So usually by donation, people, when they come, they donate to the box and we'll give as a stipend to the speakers. And so after that, we try to apply for funding. But because our activities are mainly in Chinese, so we can't get into some fundings who will focus on English and Malay. What do you say? We have to write a proposal in English and Malay. So it will be a bit difficult. So we got funding this time from an arts fund. So they require us to do a project. So we come up with a project called An Archive of the Other. And it's about documenting the marginalized communities in KL, like the refugees, like the migrant communities and the disabled communities. So we kind of do field work and talk to them. We hope in the future we can do a zine or a magazine about their stories. So with that arts fund, they also require us to do another crowdfunding through Mightstarter. Mm. So we also, we start the crowdfunding and I think, it's not ended and we haven't reached the goal. So it's just about 30% of it. So,
Okay, so I've seen the Mightstarter page and I've seen how much you guys have collected so far. Mm. And it has ended recently. So you didn't manage to achieve your goals for now. So what's the next step?
Yeah, luckily we can still get the money that we receive from Mightstarter. So, for the next... Because, we didn't have a very big project ongoing. We didn't have very big ambition to do something that requires a lot of money. So I think we'll just start from small things. So from talks, from discussions, and it doesn't really need a lot of money. So I think we can still survive in maybe 1 or 2 years because we paid our own rental. So rental fees, not problem for the library funding.
But how do you manage the daily operation of that space then, if that's the case?
Yeah, actually we don't have much. Yeah, like I said, we don't have much operating expenses because the rental fee included electricity and so on. And we don't have aircon, that's the thing. Oh. We kind of a bit insist on not installing aircons.
Interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So any specific reason why you do not want to commercialize the place?
Well, for realistic reasons, we haven't had the time to think about that because we all have our full-time job. So we have been busy with our own jobs and we're doing volunteering work at the library. So we haven't had a very clear plan of what to do next and things like that. So we haven't really commercialized the place. But we also think that if the library, if it's turned into a cafe and things like that, maybe the focus would be, a bit distracted. Yeah.
So no immediate plans to commercialize it?
Yeah, no immediate plans. But we try to come up with our own thing. So we have a bit of drinks, but not those cafe style, but just simple drinks. And
you don't charge a fee for people to come in, right?
We don't, okay. People can just come freely.
Mm. All right, so you touched on the archive of the other Mapping KL and its imaginary. Mm-hmm. So maybe you can talk about what you actually plan to do with this project.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, we try to document the lives of the other in the city, the people that we tend to neglect or tend to ignore and also think that they don't belong to the city. So because Rumah Atap is positioned at Kampung Atap, this area, and actually just opposite our library, the Chinatown area. And actually, we are very familiar with Chinatown area because we always have events there because there is a feminist bookstore there and also some art space that we are quite familiar with. But actually, we don't go to the border of Chinatown area, which is Kota Raya area. And there are a lot of migrants there. And there are also Bangladeshi streets, Myanmar streets, and a lot of South Asians. And also, there is a church where Filipino migrants can gather during Sundays. So we thought that these stories has to be documented about. And also, beside Kampung Atap, actually, we're very close to Brickfield. So there are many blind communities in Brickfield. So we also talked to them and went to their activities. So I think through the project, we hope to collect the stories of these people who we don't see they kind of belong to KL. Although we live in the same city, we tend to disregard them. So in the future, we are doing a video recording now. So hopefully it will be a zine coming out and also a documentary. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand that you also use the method called cultural mapping. So what you explained just now was basically that cultural mapping of various pockets of communities within that particular area.
Yeah, like kind of departing from the library. And so we look at Chinatown and also Kota Raya and Brickfield in particular.
Okay, well, so it has been going for almost a year now, Rumah Atap. Mm. So what are your hopes for the future of the place?
Hopes for the future. I don't think big, actually. So I don't have a very clear goal of what to achieve in the future. But I see that we have gathered crowd and we have gathered like-minded people who, and also people who think that they need such space to talk, to meet new friends. So I think for the moment, I see it as, well, it's good and it's something that I can project my dreams on. And in the future, I hope it can stay independently. Because I think there are groups who approach and say maybe they want to adopt the library. They could adopt the library, some organization. But I think we want to stay independent and to be autonomous to do things that we feel it's important.
Mm. Oh, so there are investors interested in maybe investing the place?
I don't know whether it's called investors, but because of the things that we have been doing, so people kind of approach and say, oh, it's a good place and the things that you have been doing are good. So maybe they want to bring in some project and they say they can kind of adopt place. Yeah.
And the reception has been fantastic, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, also, it depends on the issues. So usually the space can only accommodate maybe 30 people, but whenever there are hot topics, we have to squeeze in like 50. So yeah, I think it has been very encouraging.
Mm. Okay, alright. So for listeners who are interested to find out more about the place, where can they go?
They can go to our Facebook, Rumah Atap Library and Collective. And we are now also setting up the website. So maybe, I think within this year, I hope they can be set up. So right now only Facebook.
And if they are interested to go, where is it?
Oh, where is it? It's at 84C Jalan Rotan. So it's a Kampung Atap area and the Zhongshan building. You can come and not only visit the library but also some like the gallery down there and also a cafe and also bookstore and also CD store, Tandang store. So it's a very lively community that you can come for a weekend. And
okay, and it's open not every day, right?
Not every day. It's open Friday night 7 to 10 and also weekend 1 to 6. But usually we have events on Saturday night, so we open until night. So because we have our full-time job, so we can't open daily. And so we recruit volunteers who can come to help us open the library. So right now it's just Friday and weekends.
Right. Okay, thank you very much, Yingsin.
Thank you, Hanif. Thank you.
That was our feature on Rumah Atap Library and Collective at the Cheongsan Building in Kampung Atap, and we spoke to one of its co-founders, Sho Yingsin. To find out more about their various initiatives, go to facebook.com/rumahatap. With that, we have come to the end of this episode of I Love KL. If you'd like to revisit the interview, head over to bfm.my/ilovekl or download our latest app via Google Play and the App Store. Also, follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharudin and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city. Join us again next week on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
5-Hour Tea with caffeine from green tea leaves. It's delicious, energizing, and comes in 3 amazing flavors. With 0 sugar and 4 calories, it fits your life. With its compact size and portability, it goes where you go. To the campsite, the hiking trail, the beach, without weighing you down. 5-Hour Tea, caffeine from green tea leaves. Release your natural side from the makers of 5-Hour Energy. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com. Try 5-Hour Tea today. Look for 5-Hour Tea at your local Circle K store.